Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on another Sunday. I hope today, as you're traveling, maybe you're traveling down the highway somewhere headed for a destination, I want to thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Just thank you for, you know, we do these things every Sunday morning, and we just think it's a way of what we can do. It's what the Bible says. How does it apply, and how does it make it current in the midst of what's going on in our lives and how it is around our nation. And I hope today that we have some incredible insight as we dig into the Word of God and also to see how it applies. Maybe too, you're headed on your way to church this morning. Thank you for listening. And I pray as you travel, as you go there, that the Lord will bless you and will go before you as you have a time to worship together in church itself and also to listening and open up your hearts to what the Word of God is going to speak to you today and travel safe as well. Also too, many of you have shared with me, Mike, this is my Sunday morning service time. I want to thank you so much. I hear so many voices that will come up to me and speak and say, hey, Mike, I listen to you and we really, I love how it applies to my life. And I want to thank you for that. I give all the glory to God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ for everything and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because be honest with you, folks, if it was just my words, like it says in 1 Corinthians, I'm nothing more than a clanging cymbal. But if I'm doing what God has and the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through my words, then it's in tune of what Jesus Christ has for me and also, too, of what the Word He wants to reveal for us today. So again, I want to thank you for listening. A couple of things before we jump in this morning. I want to just remind you that we send out devotionals 6 days a week in Vital Ministries. You can go to vitalministries.org. If you're a man and you just want things that are straight for you, man, we've got 5 different writers that speak just some outstanding stuff that's going on. And each one of these men have a different way of how they write. And I love how it's just spot on and how it applies to us in our everyday, ordinary lives and how we can take it to our places of work, take it to our places of business, take it to our places of home, be better men, better husbands, better fathers, better grandfathers, just stuff like that. I just want to thank you. And you can go to vitalministries.org. Get that on demand. You get it sent right to your phone. We have an app that you can sign up for and get that sent right to you. Also, too, we have a motorcycle trip that's coming up, and it's going to be on June 11, 12, and 13. And I've heard a lot of guys out there kind of in the fringe thinking about going. Now is the time to be jumping in. Don't wait, guys. Don't delay. And I know a lot of times as men, we want to wait to the last minute before we sign up for something. That's just exactly how we're geared. But don't wait. We've got limited space. We're headed for La Crosse, Wisconsin. We're going to stay in some cabins up there, have a good time as men, and go out and motorcycle ride and see what it means to be out in nature. And also, too, we'll have great times of Bible study before we jump in on our bikes of a morning. I think just great time as men to have fellowship with one another, just to be men and enjoy the great outdoors and what that means to us. So again, I want to thank you. And don't forget to sign up. You can go to Vital Ministries, check it out. It's on the website, gives you some information. Or you can call me at 641-660-7715 and get all that information. I'd be happy to talk with you and get you set as we look forward to our next Vital Biker for Men ride coming up. Again, June 11, 12, and 13. You don't want to miss out on that. But we are continuing our series, It's a Time to Roar, and we are, it's just good. It's allowing our voices to be heard. Speaking up for the truth and justice. Man, don't we need that today? Speaking up to truth and justice. I'm reminded of a mighty roar that took place in Luke 23:18. A lot of times roars can go either good or for the bad, but this one is when Pilate, he asked the crowd what to do with Jesus during his trial. He wanted to have Jesus flogged and ultimately released. But it says that the crowd gave a mighty roar, shouting, "Kill him and release Barabbas." Being the weak leader that Pilate was, he let Barabbas go, and Jesus took on a cross. Again, the crowd ruled the day, voices that roared. But at the same time, it was the destiny of what Jesus knew, and also too the reason why the Father sent him to earth to come and die for our sins. And that would have to happen at a certain time in history. And that was during the time when Jesus came. He walked on the earth and was crucified. And then he was buried in a tomb, risen 3 days later, and went to ascension with the Father 40 days later, and now sits at the right hand with God, waiting for his return. But here's a question I ask you this morning as we dig in. I got a lot of stuff. I think this is going to be an exciting teaching this morning. I hope you just stay with me. What's your voice today? Does it roar for a cause, your favorite sport, your favorite hobby, or is it silenced thinking? What's the use? You ever have that comment, think it within yourself? So what's the use? People, government, and even the church will do what they desire. My voice, what does it matter? A lot of times we have that kind of thinking and we wonder, does our voice have anything or a say or even a stance in what we believe? But I want to stand with you today that I recently purchased. This is something that's important. I want to share with you today that I recently purchased a small farm. And we remodeled the interior and it's complete. But now I'm working on the outside. I'm putting time into the exterior. I've torn off the old existing vinyl siding and replaced it with a LP smart side, a hardback siding, and trying to make it new. I'm trying to make it look more so, as my wife would have asked me, to look at more like a farmhouse itself. And she wanted that design, so I'm doing my best to help her with her wish. But one thing I noticed, this is interesting, one thing I noticed when I was tearing off the siding, you find hidden and damaged things. We found some water damage due to poor gutter placement, hidden offsets between floors, and places in which mice find an entry into a home itself. You ask questions of what was their thought process, or even scratch your head asking why. Why did it get built in such a manner of that? I think I do that often, just due to the fact of, because in my profession of not only doing vital ministries, being a voice, but also too having a construction company. And a lot of times you look at that. In my life, I've always been driven to do right and do my best and my best capabilities. But even then, there is no perfection in a person's work. And without a doubt, I have learned that as well. You do your best and you keep moving, and there's no room for what I would call half-hearted building. I've always done everything that I believe for the glory of the Lord. See, this took me to looking a little bit deeper than just the surface or the physical part of my life. I asked this question. I hope maybe this question that you might ask yourself this morning: how am I doing in my relationship with Jesus? Do I follow him with the same exhilaration like I did in the years past? Have I allowed my heart to become lukewarm? Today we're going to look at that. What does it mean to have your voice roar? Or have you allowed lukewarmness in your life and it has made you still? See, folks, when your heart is lukewarm, so is your voice. Ever seen a caged lion before, especially in a zoo? They've been taken from the hunt. They've given everything that the food that's given to them is given, and they don't have to hunt it. And with that, they've even lost the roar itself. In my mind, when I see those animals that are caged, I'm happy to see them, but at the same time, it sends a message to me that they've lost their sight of roar. See, in the book of Revelation, Jesus sends a message to the church of Laodicea, a message that speaks to the church, I believe, today, and I think a message that is being sent to Christians for their lack of voice and complacency and doing life at home, doing life at work, doing life politically, and even doing life within the church itself. If you go to the Webster Dictionary, this is interesting, you look up and define what it says this: lukewarmness is something that is like moderately warm. Lukewarm is like a bath or even a lukewarm coffee. Or how about the lacking conviction of half-heartedness? Barely or moderately warm. That's the definition that Webster says. I want to throw an illustration with you. Just think about this. Ever go to Starbucks for coffee? They hit the mark the majority of the time. Think with me for a second. Coffee is always hot and has a temperature gauge on the pot itself to make sure you are giving the right temperature of coffee when you receive it. For me, I like mochas. And to be honest, Starbucks hits a home run every time I get one. The temp is always consistent and the quality of the drink has little variation. Why does that matter, or why are we talking about Starbucks today? Why does that have any significance? See, we need to be inconsistent in our spiritual life at the right temperature within our faith. Let's look at what Jesus says in Revelation 3:14 as he talked to the church of Laodicea, and we'll see how that applies even for us today. And I'm going to the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 14. If you're home today and you got your Bibles, I encourage you to pull this out, underline it. There's some good stuff in here. And folks, if you're traveling today, listen to what I'm saying and maybe take time later on to look up what these scriptures say. And these are actually words. These are red letter words spoken from Jesus himself in the book of Revelation to John the disciple. He says this, "Write this letter to the angel of the church of Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation." See, Jesus is setting up a platform, a reason why he can speak to this church. He wants them to know that he was there in the very beginning, and the word spoken in the very beginning of time, of creation, God's creation, and he was there and he spoke it into being. That is why he has a say to this church. And he says this, "I know that all the things that you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing.' And you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been perfectly purified by fire itself. Then you will be rich. Also buy the white garments from me so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and the ointment for your eyes so that you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference." Man, there's a lot that's being spoken there, folks, and I think it really helps us to see how Christianity, I think faith and religion, of how it is in America even today. Jesus says this, he says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as a friend. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches." See, this is a letter that Jesus, that are words that are spoken. But see, my point number one this morning is this, the warning. See, the church of Laodicea was blind and unwilling to face the truth. They had lost their vigor in their Bible and things that were really true within their hearts. See, I believe this morning that there are three spiritual temperatures within every Christian, that every one of us fall into one of these three categories. And I hope this morning as you listen that this will give you something to be challenged by, and also too at the same moment check your own heart. The first one is this, a burning heart, on fire for God. In Luke 24:32, on the road to Emmaus, two men were walking along the road, and then Jesus comes along, and they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as Jesus talked with us on the road and explain the scriptures?" I think a lot of times when we lose the burning heart, we can tell when we read our Bibles. Does it burn within us to the reading? Does it challenge us? Does it give us excitement? Does it give us a way to see where the very words spoken by God himself are placed on paper to which every man and woman in this nation can freely read? See, as Christians, do we read the word, and does our heart burn, or have we become lukewarm in it and complacent? The next heart is this, it's the cold heart. Let's look at Matthew 24:12. It says this, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Think about that. Think about within our own nation, as within Christianity itself. It is plummeting, folks. We are headed into we're in the spiral of losing people because they've allowed their hearts to become lukewarm. The love for Jesus is being lost as they look into their own welfare and their own being. But here's the third one, the lukewarm heart. Revelation 3:16 says, the lukewarm Christian is comfortable and complacent and does not realize his or her need. You've lost that love and feeling, kind of like a song that was by the Righteous Brothers, and I'm going to read this to you. I think it's good because I think in a way it kind of applies to what we have this morning. And in the first verse in the lyrics, it says, it goes like this. It's the Righteous Brothers write this, you never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. And there is no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying not hard to show it, but baby, I know it. You've lost that love and feeling. Whoa, that love and feeling. You've lost that love and feeling, and it's gone, gone, gone. See, I think that's what happens too within our Christian faith. As we take it to what I saw, the physical between a man and a woman and a relationship and love, and how a love has gone lukewarm and no longer the desire is there. The same thing happens with our relationship with Jesus. When we don't have a confident and a relationship with Him on a daily basis, the same thing happens within our own lives itself. Even though the song depicts a love, again, between a man and a woman, it hits a mark in our faith, doesn't it? Neither hot nor cold. You've lost that love and feeling for Jesus, and it's gone, gone, gone. Jesus says that in these verses that He will literally spit us out. Either be on fire or even cold, but lukewarm for Jesus, it makes Him vomit. See, Jesus speaks to this in three parables if you look in Matthew 25. And I'm just going to give a brief depiction of each one of these parables as Jesus speaks about what it means to have lukewarmness. The first parable in Matthew 25, 1 through 13 is the maidens. They are waiting for the bridegroom to come, but don't live a life that anticipates His return. They get comfortable in the present moment and not how to be faithful in their assignments for Jesus Himself. Doesn't that depict us sometimes? We get complacent in the present moment. We are no longer waiting for the bridegroom to come because we think in our lukewarm religious lives that it's going to be another time, another season. Parable number two is this in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. The wicked servant. See, what he does is he considers himself employed by the master himself, but he never goes out and offers his talents without reserve to the kingdom of God. He's holding on to them. He thinks he's doing right. He's just going to collect interest instead of going out and using what God has placed in his life. He has become lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, in his relationship with God Himself. Then we have parable three in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, the goats. They are surprised when they are rejected by Jesus. See, the goats, they go to church as well. They're going and doing everything from the outside. They go and they sit in church and listen to sermon after sermon. Go and read their Bibles at times with no change and have no prayer life. They thought they were faithful in serving. But when it came out to pouring themselves for crushed people for God, they were too busy and they were unwilling to help. Man, I don't know about you, but when I read these three parables, each one kind of has a mark within that I see sometimes in my own life. See, these parables help us see that there is no middle ground. These parables show us that either we are committed to God's mission, all in for Jesus, using our resources for Him and for people and His kingdom, or we're not. Folks, this is the sad but hard truth. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. And that's part of lukewarm Christianity. It's a tough spot. They've lost their voices to roar for Jesus and his kingdom. Folks, this morning is tough preaching. But hear my voice. I'm speaking and I'm asking you to listen to the words of God himself. Don't live a lukewarm Christian faith. I want to give us this morning 8 signs of a lukewarm Christian. 8 signs that I think that we might ask each one of us, do I lie in any one of the 8 in being lukewarm? First one, lukewarm number 1. Lukewarm Christians don't really want to be saved from their sin. What? They want to be saved from the penalty of sin. See, God is simply no more than a fire escape. They don't desire to have a relationship with God and worship him. They just want to get a free ticket from hell. And in that, they really don't want to be saved from sin. They just want to escape the penalty of sin. Lukewarm number 2. Lukewarm Christians are moved by stories about people who do radical things for Christ, yet they don't want to do radical things for themselves. The word radical is for someone else and not for them. When was the last time you ever did anything radical for the Lord himself? Go out and do something that's out of the ordinary. Go out and because God, the Holy Spirit, has spoken into your heart and you stepped into the moment and you did something radical. When was the last time that you did that? Or has the lukewarmness of your heart taken over the radicalness of your faith? Where you don't step out in moments to do what God has asked you to do. Number 3, lukewarm Christians equate their partiality, sanitized life with holiness. See, Jesus didn't call us to be sanitized living. No, he called us to a life of discipleship. If you're a follower of Christ, your life won't be defined by not only avoiding sin, but back to the enter into Christ's suffering itself. See, I think lukewarm Christians, they don't avoid the sin themselves. They kind of dangle in it and even in moments enter into it. But see, Jesus has called us to holiness, to live a life of suffering for him, that we stay away from those things and live a changed life. Number 4, lukewarm Christians rarely share their faith with their neighbors, their co-workers, and friends. Charles Spurgeon, he puts it this way: you are either a missionary or an imposter. When was the last time you truly shared your faith with someone? See, in lukewarm Christianity, we always say, well, that's the pastor job, or that's the evangelist job, that's the missionary's job, instead of realizing that's all of our jobs. That we are called to spread the good news of the gospel, and by doing so, we go out and share our faith. Number 5, lukewarm Christians think about life on earth much more than eternity in heaven. I have to ask myself and ask you the question that was this morning. Where's your focus? Is it here on earth or is it in heaven? I don't know about you, but it's easy to be complacent. So we live a short amount of time from it, some of us anywhere from 50 or less to 80 years of life. My dad, he's going to have a birthday here pretty soon on June 25th. My dad is going to hit 80 years old. Man, we're excited. That's a celebration. That's a time that my dad has seen a lot of things in life. And I'm thankful for the times of when I get to spend with him. But I know my father isn't so concerned about things of earth anymore, but he's more concerned about what things about heaven. And I think we should do that no matter what age we are in our life. Lukewarm, number 6. Lukewarm Christians love their luxurious life and rarely give to the poor or someone in need. How is your giving? Are you giving or are you simply holding? Number 7. I'm trying to push this morning, running out of time. Lukewarm Christians do not live by faith. Their lives are structured so they never have to do it. See, David Platt writes this He says this: if you're not in a place in which you feel desperate for the Spirit of God, then there's no way you're in the front lines of the mission of what God has for your life. We need God's help every day. Is your life desperate for Him? Number 8, lukewarm Christians give God their leftovers and not their first. I want to show you something in Malachi 1:8. It says this: stop calling your complacency and apathy a busy schedule or bills or forgetfulness. Call it what it is: evil. How's your voice this morning? Does it roar with fire for your relationship with Jesus? Or has your Christianity faith become lukewarm, silence, and no longer have a voice around people around you? I don't know about you this morning, but I'm challenged by Revelation chapter 3 as Jesus gives a message again to the church of Laodicea. And I'm challenged by the 8 lukewarm signings that we can have in our lives. I pray this morning that we change. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. I pray that we don't live lukewarm Christianity, that we live with our lives on fire and a burning zeal of your evident return. Jesus, I believe more than ever, and this is the day that we are truly, as Paul wrote about, even about the last days, but Lord, I believe we're living them. We're in the last days. We're seeing all the things of the Bible that was written for end times coming to fruition. Lord, help us to be Christians who live on fire for you. You said either be on fire or be cold, but don't be lukewarm, because I will spit you out. Lord, I pray for forgiveness of my own life. If there's moments that I know that I've allowed lukewarmness to come in within me, help me to be on fire. I pray that somebody this morning prays, Lord, set a fire within my soul, that we don't lose that love and feeling, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, in your precious holy name. Amen. Folks, I know this message this morning was a little bit tougher, one that was, I think, that goes an arrow shot to the heart. But I pray that this morning that you're challenged. Let your voice roar to be on fire, but not allowing a lukewarm Christianity faith, because lukewarm Christianity faith has no voice today. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.